Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on using ISA 2006 firewall and proxy services to protect internet-facing resources. My name is Joel Barker. In this session, we will use ISA 2006 to allow connectivity to internal resources from external clients, including roaming users. Let's start by introducing the subjects we'll be covering in this session. We will start by showing you how to use ISA 2006 to allow remote connectivity to internal resources. We'll demonstrate how ISA Server 2006 performs SSL bridging, which helps customers prevent unwanted packets within SSL-secured connections. We will show you how to enable single sign-on, or SSO, to allow users to access multiple internal resources while only providing their credentials a single time. ISA Server 2006 includes flood mitigation features, which automatically responds to flood-type attacks and notifies the administrator. You will also see how ISA Server 2006 mitigates the risks from denial-of-service attacks. By the end of the session, you will be able to securely publish multiple servers using ISA Server 2006 single sign-on capabilities, manage the rights of document users even on the extranet, monitor ISA Server 2006, and mitigate the risks from denial-of-service attacks. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. The next slide provides a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. To understand our environment, it will be helpful to have an understanding of TCP/IP routing. Our firewall acts as a router between the internal and external networks, passing traffic through them via a single external IP address. You should have some understanding of how to manage firewalls, including the creation of access rules and logging. This session utilizes Microsoft PKI and an Active Directory Certificate Authority to deploy SSL connections. It would be helpful to have a basic understanding of how public key infrastructure works. To cover the topics mentioned in the earlier slide and keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda. First, we're going to look at how to secure end-to-end access for external clients. We will deploy certificates and use those certificates for SSL connections. Then, we will create ISA Server 2006 publishing rules to allow portal and rights management traffic through the firewall. We will also deploy and configure Microsoft Antigen, an antivirus and content filtering solution. After we cover end-to-end secure access, we will follow the user experience as they utilize the portal. Because we configured single sign-on, the user will not have to log on as they move from resource to resource. Next, we will view access logs in ISA Server and keep track of connectivity between the ISA Server and other servers. Finally, we will look at flood mitigation and content filtering capabilities in ISA Server 2006. ISA will help you identify and automatically mitigate many types of denial-of-service attacks. The ISA server can inspect and block packets matching signatures of unwanted applications, such as peer-to-peer applications. As you provide more services outside of the network, you can increase the attack surface for your enterprise. ISA Server 2006 is the integrated edge security gateway that helps protect your IT environment from internet-based threats, while enabling your users access to the internal resources that they need to be productive. Users have an increasing need and expectation for access to internal resources when they are outside of the network. Mail servers, portal sites, and internal communication tools such as instant messaging need to be made available to the remote users. However, by adding these functions to a firewall, you can unwittingly expose your network to risks. By exposing IP addresses and ports, you can potentially be vulnerable to denial-of-service or DOS attacks. A DOS attack is an attempt by a malicious or unwitting user, process, or system to prevent legitimate users from accessing a network service. A common denial-of-service attack strategy is to flood a server with more requests than the server is capable of handling. As we will see later in this demonstration, ISA has some flood mitigation tools that can help to automatically reduce the impact of this sort of attack. Through content inspection, ISA can work to identify unauthorized and dangerous traffic types before they reach the internal resource. Deploying an enterprise-wide antivirus, anti-malware solution such as Antigen can mitigate and help to provide a hygienic network, even with several points of attachment to the Internet. Since credentials and confidential corporate data are going to be exposed outside of the network, ISA can deploy SSL to the external client and to the internal resource. Data traveling through the SSL tunnel is unlikely to be readable by anything besides the two connected resources. Using SSL bridging, ISA can perform stateful packet inspection and still provide end-to-end SSL connectivity. Of course, maintaining access control becomes more of a challenge as resources are exposed to the Internet. Users must be able to reach the same resources that they are accustomed to utilizing, but they may be using unsecured computers. As we will see in this session, ISA can centrally control authentication for multiple internal resources, increasing the security of the entire network and making user access more convenient. With portal access, users can easily transmit, view, and save confidential documents outside of the internal network. You can control who reads, copies, and prints confidential data from these documents by deploying Rights Management Server, or RMS. The Rights Management Server can be securely published through ISA 2006. Users with Internet access will be able to confirm their access rights to RMS-protected documents. How will Contoso resolve these challenges? Contoso wants to use ISA 2006 to securely publish Exchange, SharePoint, and Office Communicator web access. They will use a single ISA 2006 server as an edge firewall. Using certificates deployed from the Enterprise Root Certificate Authority, all connections will utilize end-to-end secure sockets layer connectivity with SSL bridging at the ISA server. SharePoint and Exchange will utilize single sign-on, or SSO. ISA 2006 will manage the authentication for all included resources. Contoso is also deploying Antigen for SharePoint, IM, and Exchange. It will allow them to closely scan viruses and malware at the server level as they first enter the environment. In addition, they can control unwanted file types, such as MP3 files, and create obscenity or spam filters that will scan and filter text as it enters the portal. First, Contoso will deploy a public key infrastructure. Secure Socket Layer is a protocol that provides secure data communication through data encryption. SSL authenticates the source of traffic using trusted certificates, either a third-party certificate provider, a standalone certificate authority, or an enterprise certificate authority. SSL applied to the HTTP protocol is referred to as HTTPS. An SSL connection is also encrypted end-to-end, providing integrity and data privacy for the communication. Active Directory can dispense and store certificates, providing a simple avenue for the deployment of a public key infrastructure in your environment. Contoso has deployed an enterprise certificate authority to leverage Active Directory for certificate storage and to identify trusted certificates. For more information on secure publishing, see the TechNet session in this series, SEC 04, Secure Application Publishing. The single sign-on feature of ISA Server 2006 requires the use of basic authentication between the internal server and the client. Basic authentication transmits username and password in plain text. This is an insecure situation as the credential can be intercepted. However, by deploying SSL connections internally and externally, the basic authentication credentials are not exposed outside of the SSL tunnel. When you create a web publishing rule, you must specify a web listener for the rule. A web listener determines which IP addresses and ports the network will listen on, which authentication method will be used, and the number of simultaneous connections allowed. Single sign-on services require that all services share one listener. However, certificates should identify the exact server that the client is communicating with. Seemingly, one listener cannot provide SSL connectivity for multiple websites. However, wildcard certificates make this possible. New in ISO 2006 is the ability to use multiple certificates for a listener and use multiple certificates on one listener. Contoso publishes all of their resources to a single external IP address. Since the listener can only have one certificate per IP address, they employ a wildcard certificate to authenticate all internal resources to a single external SSL certificate. A wildcard certificate can provide authenticity for an entire domain, but not across domains. You can create a wildcard certificate by assigning the common name *. And the domain name to a server certificate. For example, the wildcard certificate for all of contoso.com is *.contoso.com. When employing SSL through a firewall, you have the option of using SSL bridging or SSL tunneling. SSL tunneling connects the internal resource directly with the external client. The ISA server is not able to view the packets within the SSL tunnel. As a result, many of ISA's useful features, such as stateful packet inspection, are not effectively utilized. In contrast, you can utilize ISA Server 2006 in an SSL bridge scenario. In an SSL bridge, the ISA server makes two SSL connections. It connects to the external client as an authenticating SSL server, then it connects to the internal resource as an SSL client. Since data is decrypted and then once again encrypted at the ISA server, the firewall can perform stateful packet inspection. For added security, Contoso is utilizing SSL connections not just from the firewall to external clients, but also internally, using SSL bridging. Now Contoso will establish ISA Server 2006 rules for portal access. In this demonstration, we will publish the SharePoint, Outlook Web Access, and Office Communicator Web Access servers utilizing SSL and single sign-on. Contoso employees want to have a portal which will allow them to access their inbox, files, and instant messaging server while they are traveling. Since all of these resources are potentially vulnerable to attack, we will deploy Antigen to protect the resources, as well as using the ISA firewall to control access. The first step in this sequence is to configure the ISA server as the network edge firewall using the ISA server management interface and to enable single sign-on authentication. This enables users outside of the network to only authenticate their credentials once per session, with the ISA server managing user access with other sites and services inside the network. First, we will run through the network template wizard to enable the basic rules of our firewall. Add and configure the network adapter for the internal network. Use the firewall policy page of the interface to set access levels to websites and ISP network services. We will allow basic web browsing for our internal clients. Use the firewall policy option in the ISA management window to publish the SharePoint website and configure the ISA server to use secure connections for the published website. We will create a rule for secure SSL publication of our SharePoint portal. By using SSL bridging, the connection from the client to the firewall will be within an SSL tunnel, and the connection from the firewall to the SharePoint server will be in an SSL tunnel. However, since the SSL tunnels are bridged at the ISA server, ISA can perform application layer inspection and single sign-on features on these connections. On the Select Web Listener page, you need to create a new listener for this portal website that you defined in the previous step. This listener will be used for all single sign-on services. Not only the SharePoint site, but the Exchange web server will use the same listener. Use the Client Connection Security page to set the firewall to require SSL secured connections from clients, and select the star.contoso.com domain from the certificate page. The listener will receive requests from the external network. Previously, we issued a certificate for this server with the name star.contoso.com. This is a wildcard certificate which will serve any SSL connections between the external clients and the firewall for named services that end in contoso.com. By using a wildcard certificate, this single listener can be utilized for multiple published services, enabling single sign-on and providing SSL security for these connections. Use the Authentication Settings page to enable HTML form authentication and define the single sign-on name for the domain. Once this is enabled, the ISIS server will store the user's information after they log in and will manage their access to the published web servers, removing the need for repeating the login process. The final step is to define the authentication delegation setting for the website. Select the basic authentication from the options in the drop-down menu. You can only use basic authentication with single sign-on. While this could potentially be a security risk, the use of end-to-end SSL protects the past credentials. Use the default All Authenticated Users and complete the wizard. The SharePoint site is now available from the external website. Apply the changes to the ISIS server. Now that the authentication has been configured on the ISIS server, authentication needs to be set for the default website on the SharePoint server. After expanding the websites, select the default website and click on the Directory Security tab. You can now select basic authentication for the default website on the SharePoint server. IIS will warn you about the security risk of enabling basic authentication. However, we are using SSL, so the credentials are more secure. The Office Communicator Web Access Client extends the reach of Live Communication Server to a broader base of information workers, requiring nothing more than a web browser. You need to create the Office Communicator Web Access Rule by using the new Web Publishing Rule wizard. Name the new rule OCWA Publishing, and on the Internal Publishing Details page, set the rule to have the ISIS server use SSL for connection to the website, and to have it forward the original host header instead of the actual one. Previously, we created DNS aliases for CWA that points to LAN-LCS-01, the live communication web server in our network. External users will access the OCWA at the URL cwa.contoso.com, port 444. We will create a separate web listener specifically for the OCWA server. Since cwa.contoso.com is in the same domain as portal.contoso.com, however, we can use the same wildcard certificate. OCWA will handle all the authentication for these connections. ISA will still perform application layer inspection on traffic, but it won't handle the authentication duties for this service. Next, you need to set the port to be used for the LCS SSL certificate. Use the Properties window and enter 444 for the enabled SSL HTTPS connection. Since we are using a single external IP address, the LCS listener will use a different port than the portal listener. The ISA server will redirect traffic to the internal server's port 443. Since we're not performing any authentication, there is no authentication delegation available. Complete the wizard with the default options. The Office Communicator Web Access Server is now available externally. Now we will publish the Outlook Web Access Server. A new rule must be defined to allow this access by using the new Exchange Publishing Rule wizard. Selecting the Use SSL to connect to the published web server or server farm option will require a secure connection from remote users accessing OWA. Once again, we previously created a DNS alias for mail.contoso.com that directs traffic to our Exchange server, lawnex01. We can use the portal web listener and enable single sign-on for the OWA server. A user can access the mail and SharePoint servers alternately during a single ISA session without having to re-enter credentials. In the ISA management window, apply the new rule. Contoso also needs to deploy an enterprise-wide anti-malware solution to harden the network. By providing access to external users, Contoso's risk of exposure to unwanted viruses and Trojan horses increases. Users can potentially upload unwanted material, such as unlicensed music, onto the servers. It becomes easier for users to deliberately or unwittingly release confidential information. To protect against these risks, Contoso will also deploy Microsoft Antigen. Antigen is a line of server-level antivirus, anti-spam, and content filtering products to help businesses protect their email and collaboration environments against viruses, worms, spam, and inappropriate content. Contoso will deploy three Antigen products: Antigen for Exchange, Antigen for IM, and Antigen for SharePoint. These three products can scan incoming and outgoing content for viruses, unwanted content, and unauthorized file types. In addition, the antivirus scan within Antigen utilizes multiple scan engines, providing greater assurance of the accuracy of virus detection. Contoso will deploy Antigen in the following demonstration. In this demonstration, Contoso will deploy Antigen for SharePoint and configure Antigen for IM. Antigen for SharePoint provides the critical antivirus protection and content control needed to secure SharePoint content libraries. This task will walk you through the installation of Antigen on the SharePoint server. Once installed, Antigen provides comprehensive collaborative security using layered defenses, corporate content policy enforcement, and optimization of SharePoint resources to ensure that document libraries are secure and available at all times. Antigen will automatically manage signature updates for all the engines. By default, it will automatically update the scan engines upon installation. For this demo, we will forego this update. Follow the installation wizard to complete the installation of Antigen on the SharePoint server. Now that you have installed Antigen, you must complete the configuration steps on the SharePoint server. Contoso's legal department has asked that we make every effort to prevent users from storing MP3 files on our servers. Antigen will provide this functionality for the SharePoint document store. Run the Antigen client to manage any features of any Antigen product. Click the filtering section to control content on the SharePoint site. We have deep control over what is filtered. We can filter by keyword within documents or by files. For file filtering, we can control by file names and by file type. For this demonstration, you need to enable filtering for MP3 files and set the action definition to prevent file transfers. You will also set it to send a notification when a file transfer is attempted and to quarantine any MP3 files. The default is to prevent all available file type profiles. We will be more targeted, only limiting MP3 files. Users will receive a notification telling them that MP3 files are not allowed on the portal server. Antigen also provides a comprehensive solution to managing digital messaging within the corporate network. Not only does it protect against invasive threats, it also provides the IT staff with the needed tools to filter and manage the content of instant messages. The single client can contact and manage all of your Antigen deployments in the environment. Switch to the live communication server to set up a filter on that server. In this demonstration, you're going to define a filter that will restrict the mention of a business with which Contoso is in merger negotiations. We will create a new list for our business rules. Using the Antigen filtering interface, add the name of the fictitious business to the list of phrases that will be monitored and trapped by Antigen. Now, enable the filter. Messages that contain the string business XYZ will be purged and not recoverable. We can notify the administrator and the sender that the message was rejected. For our changes to take effect, we need to restart the Antigen service on the LCS server. Contoso is also in need of a way to secure documents as they are utilized outside of the internal network. Windows Rights Management Services with Service Pack 1 works with RMS-enabled applications to help safeguard digital information from unauthorized use, both online and offline, inside and outside of the firewall. Windows Office products such as Word and Outlook are RMS-enabled. RMS attaches persistent usage policies to the document, file, or Outlook item. The document creator can specify a variety of use levels for different users. A certain user can read but not print the document, while another would be able to read and print, for instance. These policies remain with the document and require user authentication before the document is available. New in Service Pack 1 is the capability to operate RMS in air-gapped networks. You can deploy and use RMS in networks that do not have a direct connection to the Internet. Comply with Federal Information Processing Standards, or FIPS. The FIPS 140-2 is a requirement for cryptographic products sold to the U.S. federal government. Other governments, such as the Canadian federal government, recommended that applicable products purchased be FIPS certified. The standard is now being considered in the financial industry. All companies wishing to do business with the U.S. federal government must use FIPS-validated cryptographic modules. RMS SP1 uses FIPS-validated cryptographic modules available in Windows, accessible through Windows CAPI. The cryptographic algorithms used include AES for symmetric encryption of content and RSA for asymmetric encryption of content keys and other credentials. Microsoft DPAPI is used for securing secret key material. RMS SP1 uses cryptographic modules that are validated for FIPS 140-1 Level 1 on Microsoft Windows XP and later, and FIPS 140-2 Level 1 on Windows Server 2003. FIPS 140-2 became official in May 2002. By then, Windows 2000 and Windows XP had already achieved the official FIPS 140-1 status. FIPS 140-1 is still a valid and recognized certification level. Integrate two-factor authentication for an additional layer of security. This means that you can employ smart cards or computer certificates as a layer of authentication. In addition, RMS integrates with third-party server-based applications to protect intellectual property and enable companies to meet the security demands of regulatory compliance through integration with records and document management, email, archiving, and email gateways, as well as integration with other information processing infrastructures, such as automated workflows, content inspection, and more. When an RMS-enabled file is accessed, the local RMS client uses HTTP or SSL-protected HTTPS to authenticate the user to the RMS server. The RMS server can be configured to have both an internal and external facing URL. The external facing URL can then be published through ISA. An external client with an internet connection can then utilize the RMS-protected document to the extent the creator has allowed. If necessary, the time of validity of a user's rights can be extended. This would allow a user to connect to the RMS server, validate their rights, and then use the document offline for a given period of time. Now, let's deploy RMS in the Contoso network. In this demonstration, we will configure the rights management server to allow users to control access to documents as they create them. Rights Management Server allows for the distribution of documents and emails with attached permissions. If someone tries to open an RMS-protected document and cannot access the RMS server, they will not be allowed to view the document. We can actually make the RMS server available through the firewall so that even users outside of the firewall can verify their RMS credentials. Because we are using the portal listener, we need to enable basic authentication so that the credentials being passed through the firewall will be accepted by RMS. Use the Internet Information Manager Services interface to select the directory security settings. You need to set the default website to use basic authentication and select all on the Inheritance Overrides page. Now we will configure the RMS service connection with Active Directory. Active Directory clients will be able to locate the RMS server via Active Directory. On the Global Administration page, you need to define and assign RMS administration to the default website and establish the service connection point for the RMS administration. RMS has already been installed on the server. The internal website has already been configured. However, the service connection point has not been created in Active Directory. Now register the extranet settings. This is the URL that will be used by external customers to access the RMS server. Make sure that you perform this task before RMS permissions are issued. We will use SSL and the DNS name rights.contoso.com to access the RMS through the firewall. Through the RMS administration pages, you have access to the features of RMS credentials. For instance, we can extend the validity period of an external certificate. This will be convenient for users who have intermittent connectivity. Next, you need to define an ISO web server publishing rule for RMS. Under the Firewall Policy interface, select the Publish Websites option. This will be similar to the rules that we created earlier for SharePoint, OCWA, and OWA. We will use the SSL connection option for the website. For more specific control, you can type an exact path for access, preventing unsecured web pages on the server from being accessed. Enter the public name for rights.contoso.com. This name must match the extranet cluster URL created in the RMS administration website. Once again, we will use the portal listener. Select the No Delegation but Client May Authenticate Directly option on the Authentication Delegation page. The RMS login will not be interfered with by the ISA server. The final configuration step is to choose the All Users option on the Add Users dialog. Now apply the changes to the ISA server. The Rights Management Services client now needs to be installed. Once the installation is complete, an organization can use RMS to help prevent sensitive information, such as financial reports, product specifications, or confidential email messages, from intentionally or accidentally getting into the wrong hands. Now that you have installed the RMS client, we need to create a permission-based document. Log in as Aaron Kahn. Working on the workstation computer, use Microsoft Word to create a document with permission restrictions. We'll use Aaron Kahn's credentials. Using the Select User dialog, restrict the permissions for the sample document to read only for the B. Hoffman user. Now we will save the protected document. We will name it Akon Protected Document and then log off the Akon user and log on the B. Hoffman user. Now, logged on using the B. Hoffman user account, we need to create a document that will be protected by the Barbara Hoffman user. Other permissions are available, including creating an expiration date for the document, allowing printing of the content, and the ability to request additional permissions by emailing the document owner. Again, we want to restrict the permission for this document to read, and this time, select Akon for the user. The final step of this sequence is to shut down the workstation and make the appropriate changes to the internet protocols to move the workstation to the external network. With the rights management services in place, documents are now better protected by having the usage rights locked within the document itself. This controls how the information is used even after it has been opened by the intended recipients. For the purposes of this demonstration, we do not have an external DNS server. Instead, the hosts file will direct contoso.com requests to the external port on the ISA server. This demonstration machine has two network adapters. Currently, we are using one attached to the internal network. The external adapter is disabled. Now, to move the workstation to the external network, we will disable the internal adapter and enable the external adapter. B. Hoffman will now log into the workstation while it is outside of the network. Although she does not have access to a domain controller, her credentials are cached from her previous login to the computer, so she can log in locally. A permission-based document will cause the client to access the extranet URL to confirm rights. We've published that URL through ISA, so it is accessible. Now, Barbara Hoffman will open and read the document that Aaron Kahn created. Office notifies the user that it is going to check the restricted permissions for the document. RMS has confirmed that Barbara Hoffman has permission to read this document. These are all of her permissions. The next agenda item will look at the portal we just created from the external user's point of view. Now that we have established SSL connectivity, the portal is ready for user access. What are the user's requirements for external access? In the previous section, we looked at the organization's requirements for portal access. Now, look at the user's experience. Users want to be able to access those files, services, and other resources that are important to them. To that end, authentication serves to make sure that the user is identified and allowed access to the proper resources. However, users do not like to be pestered by having to continually provide their username and password as they access different services in the same domain, such as Exchange and SharePoint. By deploying ISA Server 2006, Contoso can enable single sign-on, or SSO, to streamline the user experience. The ISA server will collect the user's credentials from their external client and pass it as appropriate to internal resources that are configured for SSO. As a result, the user will only need to enter their credentials once per session. Contoso has already deployed the prerequisites for single sign-on. Active Directory provides the user objects and authorization of those objects, while the Enterprise Certificate Authority provides authentication and encryption of past credentials. Although they are exposed to the Internet and possibly using a public computer, remote users require the same degree of confidentiality and protection from malware as they have when they are working on the internal network. As you saw in the previous demonstrations, Contoso has deployed Antigen and RMS as well as protected all external clients with SSL to make the external client experience more secure. One way to simultaneously simplify and harden security principles for the user is to deploy a smart card infrastructure. Smart card infrastructure can enhance the security provided by traditional software-only authentication. A smart card is a physical object which stores a certificate from the public key infrastructure. A secure session is established by using the public key authentication with key exchange between the client's smart card and the internal server to derive a unique session key that can then be used to ensure data integrity and confidentiality throughout the session. You can achieve additional authentication by mapping the certificate to a user or group account with previously established access control privileges. The smart card enhances the public key authentication process by serving as a secure store for the private key material and as a cryptographic engine for performing a digital signature or key exchange operation. One potential vulnerability of a smart card is that it can be lost or stolen. To protect against this possibility, smart cards are secured by a PIN which must be input to use the card. Smart cards are an excellent part of a multi-factor authentication system, a recommended strong authentication policy that requires multiple sources of authentication, such as username and password in combination with a smart card. ISA Server 2006 is smart card capable. External users can be provided with smart cards that will make their access more secure and simpler. An important tool for deploying smart cards is Microsoft Certificate Lifecycle Manager, which can provide certificate management and self-serve certificate deployment of smart cards. For more information, visit www.microsoft.com/CLM. We can now access the portal from a roaming client computer. In this demonstration, we will utilize the portal that we created in the previous session. Through secure SSL connections, the user will be able to use internal email, SharePoint, and instant messaging resources. Antigen will protect the network from potential risks. To prepare for the email demonstration, you must first log in using the Acon account and send an email with an attached file to the Barbara Hoffman user account. The project launch compressed file contains readme.htm, which has a virus payload. Using Outlook Web Access, Aaron Kahn will send the email to Barbara Hoffman. We will give the email a subject of Project Launch Files. We will also add a link to the Contoso portal site. Now, we will attach the Project Launch File. We will now send the email to Barbara Hoffman. Still using the Aaron Kahn account, we can open an Office Communicator web access session. Barbara will contact Aaron through CWA later in the demonstration. We will set Aaron Khan's status to online. Now we will demonstrate how single sign-on works and access the portal.contoso.com website from Outlook Web Access. First, we need to enter the credentials for the Barbara Hoffman user when we open Outlook Web Access. This link will take us to the secure portal site for Contoso.com. The secure portal site opens for the B. Hoffman user without us having to re-enter our credentials because we configured single sign-on in the previous demonstration. The portal includes web parts that access Outlook information, including the user's calendar and inbox. Normally, this would require an additional login prompt. However, ISA has passed the user's credentials to the different services, making the login experience smoother. Next, we will open the attachment. When you open the compressed file containing the virus, you will be informed that only the infected file was removed from the incoming email. Antigen for Exchange scanned the files within the compressed file and purged the virus. The text file alert informs the user that only the infected file has been removed. Antigen for SharePoint enforces file filtering by examining the file contents, not just by identifying the file extension. In this example, you will try to bypass the filtering by changing the file name. Now, we will upload the document to SharePoint. The operating system has identified the file by its extension and has affixed a text file icon to the file. However, Antigen looks at the actual file and knows that it is in fact an MP3 file in spite of the text file extension. Now, we will start an Office Communicator Web Access session. Then, we will initiate an instant messaging conversation with Aaron Khan. Now we will type the instant message and see Antigen capture the flagged content based on the rule we defined earlier. Now that the portal has been made available to the extranet, How does an administrator monitor the firewall? In this section, we will monitor the ISA server by viewing access logs. It's important to stay on top of firewall performance and behavior. Now that they have employed ISA Server 2006 features, Contoso's network administrators want to be able to track the health and usage of the firewall. With connectivity verifiers, ISA Server 2006 can keep track of the critical connections that it requires to continue to function. By pre-configuring connectivity verifiers for the servers and resources that ISA Server requires to function, alerts will be generated when these connections are unavailable. Connectivity verifiers can regularly test connectivity via several different processes. An HTTP GET request can confirm connectivity to a web server. This can be useful to be assured the ISA Server 2006 is still connected to the Internet. ISA can use ping requests to confirm that a necessary server, such as a domain controller, is functioning and can be contacted. A connectivity verifier can also connect to a specific TCP port. Use connectivity verifiers to confirm that your ISA server can connect to a specific external web server, an internal Active Directory domain controller, DHCP or DNS servers, or an internal published web server. ISA Server 2006 management provides access logs that you can view in a number of ways and powerful filtering tools to get you the information that you need and eliminate from your view the information that you do not. Logs can be viewed directly through the ISA Management MMC. Like most Windows log files, you can configure the logs to be written to a file or to a remote SQL database. This provides enhanced security, backup, and query capabilities. Another way to enhance your monitoring is to deploy the ISA 2000-2006 Management Pack for Microsoft Operations Manager. MOM allows central monitoring and control of the entire enterprise's ISA servers. Logs, performance, events, and connectivity can be monitored. MOM can generate alerts for critical occurrences, notifying you if a problem occurs and connecting you with a knowledge base to resolve the issue. Let's see these capabilities in the Contoso network. In this demonstration, you will view the access logs in ISA 2006 to track the type of traffic that is passing through the firewall. Now, we will use ISA Management to monitor the access through the firewall. The ISA Management dashboard provides a heads-up look at the health of the ISA server. You can confirm connectivity, check for any outstanding alerts, identify how many clients are utilizing the firewall, and view any custom reports that you have created. A connectivity verifier will help to track ISA's connection to required services, such as Active Directory. You can quickly create a connectivity verifier to make sure that ISA is communicating with our Active Directory forest. You can confirm the connectivity of any of your published servers or the Internet, as well as services like DHCP or DNS. We will create an Active Directory connectivity verifier to make sure that we are communicating with the domain controller. Like all changes to ISA, you will need to apply the changes for them to take effect. Within the ISA console, you can use monitoring options to view current details about your system, to verify connectivity, to define alerts, and generate reports. The monitoring node has 7 tabs that allow you to monitor, control, investigate, troubleshoot, and plan firewall operations. This demo will show you more about these tabs in greater detail. The dashboard view provides you with a real-time snapshot of summarized ISA server activity. On a single screen, you can see critical information helping you to quickly identify and troubleshoot issues. The Alerts tab shows you any pending alerts. ISA Server triggers an alert in response to a specified event. You can modify ISA Server alert definitions to trigger an alert according to specified thresholds. You can also specify an alert action, such as sending an email notification when the alert occurs. In addition, you can create a new alert definition for a specific alert. When an alert is triggered, a new line appears in the alerts view. Identical alerts are grouped together for ease of use. You can see that there are three alerts under the Service Started group. Each of these alerts signifies that a service important to ISIS server has started. You can configure the alerts window to automatically refresh more or less frequently. You can modify the existing alert definition or create your own. The service shutdown alert monitors any ISIS server service for shutdown. You can assign this event to a specific category or modify the severity of the event. Here you can configure additional conditions such as a specific service, and you can modify the thresholds that will trigger an alert. On this tab, you can define what actions to take in the event this alert is triggered. Options include sending an email, running a program such as a script, or automatically starting or stopping a service. Now, we will stop the Microsoft ISIS Server Job Scheduler service to trigger an alert in ISIS Server. You can see that an alert was generated, and you can view the information in the ISIS Server Details pane. You can use ISIS Server Management to indicate that you are handling a specific event or a group of events by acknowledging the events. When you mark an event as acknowledged, the status for those events is changed in the alerts view, and those events are no longer displayed on the dashboard. The ISIS Server Real-Time Services Monitoring feature shows the current status of all ISIS Server services and how long each service has been running. You may need to refresh the view in order to see the latest snapshot. ISIS Server-related services can be started or stopped from the ISIS console. Once you have acknowledged and fixed the problem, you can reset an alert, thereby effectively removing it from the alerts view. Intrusion detection for common attacks and DNS attack detection and filtering is enabled by default. Detected attempts trigger an intrusion detection alert. Here you can see some common attacks that are monitored and logged. The final part of this session goes over firewall and proxy service protection capabilities of ISIS Server 2006. Another important protection to provide to your network is protection against flood types of attacks aimed at denial of service. With built-in ISIS Server 2006 tools and administrative best practices, the administrator can cut down on the exposure to these attacks. Denial of service flood attacks can originate from outside of the network or from within it. Denial of service, or DOS, is a general term for attacks that intend to prevent servers from functioning properly. One of the most common techniques for DOS attacks is by flooding the server with requests. An attacker may attack from one or more external nodes and send malformed TCP requests which require inordinate work on the part of a server. As a result, legitimate clients will receive timeout messages as they wait for the server to respond to their requests. DOS can also be manifest from the internal network. If a worm spreads within the organization's computers, they can create either malformed or massive amounts of traffic through the firewall. If untreated, the result can be heavy congestion that prevents legitimate traffic. ISIS Server 2006 can help to cut down various types of denial of service attacks. ISA is equipped to stem the tide of attacks like worm propagation, SYN attack, denial of service or DOS attack, distributed DOS attack, and HTTP bombing attacks. ISA defends against these attacks with monitors that limit the TCP connection requests per minute per IP, which will reduce a worm propagation that occurs when an infected host scans the network for vulnerable hosts, as well as flood attacks in which an attacker sends numerous TCP connect messages. Set a maximum number of concurrent TCP requests from a single IP address. This cuts down on TCP flood attacks in which a host maintains many TCP connections with ISA or with protected internal servers. Limit TCP the amount of half-open connections per IP. This mitigates SYN attacks when an offending host sends several TCP SYN messages without first completing the TCP handshake, clogging TCP negotiation. ISA Server 2006 automatically calculates this limit to half the amount set for concurrent TCP connections per IP address. To control HTTP DOS attacks, ISA Server 2006 sets a limit on HTTP requests per minute, per IP. No single IP address can flood the server with HTTP requests. Limiting new non-TCP sessions per minute per rule will help to identify and reduce the damage of a distributed DOS attack. Set a limit of UDP sessions per IP address, which will cut down on the damage from UDP-based flood attacks. One of the possible negative results of an attack is the firewall resources committed to managing the server under heavy load will further reduce the firewall's ability to manage the burden. For instance, under a flood attack, ISA logging will quickly fill up, requiring much-needed server resources. You can customize your logging to remove duplicate entries and significantly reduce the effect of the attack on the ISA server. To resolve the attack, the administrator can employ remediation tools and techniques that are built into ISA Server 2006. By configuring alerts to notify you when a specified threshold of packets has been denied from mitigation techniques above, you can quickly be notified and respond. Through these alerts and logs, you can identify offending client computers. If the offending client is internal, you can disable it until the worm or virus has been cleaned from the system. If it is an external client, you can refuse all connections for that IP address, eliminating the problem. Another way to limit unwanted traffic on the network is through the powerful packet inspection capabilities of ISA Server 2006. Peer-to-peer applications can be the source of large amounts of unwanted traffic on a business network. In addition, they are often the means for the transfer of illegal or improperly licensed files. Many organizations would like to cut down on the amount of peer-to-peer traffic on their network. However, much peer-to-peer traffic travels over HTTP using port 80, the default port for web servers. You cannot merely shut down that port. ISA Server 2006 packet inspection provides the means to identify and remove unwanted traffic based on patterns inside of the packets, such as header information. We will take a closer look at this in the next demonstration. In this demonstration, you will explore the flood mitigation functionality of ISA Server 2006 and how to use ISA to block peer-to-peer software applications. Let's examine the flood mitigation settings in ISA Server 2006. ISA Server 2006 can help stop the flooding of connections from three different kinds of attacks. Worm propagation. A computer on the internal network starts sending out network packets to different IP addresses on the internet. TCP denial of service attack. An attacker sends out TCP packets in order to use up all the resources at the firewall or server behind the firewall. HTTP denial of service attack. A computer on the internal network sends a very large number of HTTP requests over the same connection. In all these cases, the firewall engine component of ISA's server limits the number of connections, connection requests, and half-open connections per minute or per rule from a particular IP address. To avoid overwhelming the log file with identical block entries, after the flood mitigation settings have blocked an attack, you can disable the logging of these blocked network connections. Click Apply to save the changes you have made to the ISA server configuration. We will now simulate an internal to external TCP flood as a worm or Trojan horse within our network might produce. Now, we will actually create a TCP flood to see how the ISA server reacts. We will connect to the web.asp page on a remote server, Istanbul. This is a single TCP connection from the domain controller computer. The script, named tcpflutter.dps, attempts to set up 200 connections to IP addresses 42.1.0.0 through 42.1.15.9. By default, ISA server allows a maximum of 160 concurrent TCP connections from the same IP address. The IP addresses on the 42.1.0.0 network do not exist in the demo environment, but the SharePoint server will set up a maximum of 160 TCP connections with ISA server. ISA server blocks the remaining 40 TCP connections. When you attempt to open a new connection, ISA server blocks new connections from 192.168.16.10. After a few moments, Internet Explorer displays an error page to indicate that it cannot display the page. If you refresh the existing connection, notice that the server time on the web page has changed. That is an indication that the page refreshed successfully. Even though ISA server has blocked connections from LAN SP01, 192.168.16.10, existing connections such as the one in the Internet Explorer window can still be used. We can examine the alerts related to flood mitigation. Notice in the alert information description that ISA server identifies which IP address, 192.168.16.10, exceeded the configured limit of concurrent TCP connections. This information allows you to further investigate the cause of the high number of connection attempts. Examine the logging of the 200 attempted connections. The log viewer displays all the log entries from 192.168.16.10 to the 42.1.0.0 network from the last hour. The most recent log entry is listed first. Notice that the most recent log entry is for the connection to an IP address that is a little higher than 42.1.16.0. That is a little more than 160 TCP connections. ISIS server may have closed a few TCP connections already, which still leaves a maximum of 160 concurrent TCP connections. To avoid overwhelming the log file with identical block entries, you configured flood mitigation to not log traffic that is blocked by the flood mitigation settings. All connections to IP address 42.1.17.0 through 42.1.19.9. An access rule can contain all the rule elements to define an outbound access policy for any TCP UDP or non-TCP UDP protocol from any computer, including the ISIS server, to any other computer. This combines the functionality of ISIS Server 2006 packet filter rules, protocol rules, and site content rules in a single rule list. In this demonstration, you will configure the rule to block HTTP traffic from a generic peer-to-peer software application. ISIS Server 2006 examines the contents of all HTTP traffic. This is called application-level filtering or content filtering. HTTP packets that do not meet the specifications on the General tab are blocked. Many applications use HTTP as their transport protocol or as tunnel protocol because the HTTP port 80 is configured to be accessible on most firewalls. Application-level filtering can block ill-formed or unwanted HTTP applications or content. You need to create a new signature that will identify the generic peer-to-peer application we want to block. The Allow Web Traffic to Internet Access rule will allow HTTP traffic from a web browser, but it will block HTTP traffic from this fictitious P2P app. Let's review what we have covered in this session. In this session, we have covered how to enable portal access for external users and how to protect the network from the accompanying risks. It's a good idea to deploy public key infrastructure so that you can enable SSL on client-to-server communications. SSL provides authentication and encryption for your clients and servers. ISIS Server 2006 can provide single sign-on for external users, simplifying their experience. By configuring flood mitigation and setting up alerts that will notify the administrators of any potential attacks, the administrator can identify and mitigate the effects of these attacks. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/SEC06 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Here are some Microsoft books that could be useful to you. Assessing Network Security delivers advanced network testing strategies, including vulnerability scanning and penetration testing, for members of the Microsoft security teams. These real-world practitioners provide hands-on guidance on how to perform security assessments, uncover security vulnerabilities, and apply appropriate countermeasures. Threat modeling is a straightforward and practical guide that describes the concepts and goals for threat modeling, a structured approach for identifying, evaluating, and mitigating risks to system security. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Office Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The course that best supports this session is Course 2821, Designing and Managing a Windows Public Key Infrastructure, which is available now. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides the edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator, MSCA, or a systems engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll be interested to hear about.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows and servers. Support when you need it, including 2 free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base and more. Work on your skills at your own pace. E-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of 3 support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.